The Defense Department says it used a flawed process when it decided to bar the nation's largest for-profit college from getting military tuition assistance funds last year. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, DOD is drawing up new rules that it says will be fair to colleges while still ferreting out deceptive marketing practices.
Peter Levine, the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, told the Senate yesterday that department officials had followed policy correctly when they suspended the University of Phoenix from military tuition assistance programs last October, because the school had indeed violated the terms of its Memorandum of Understanding with the Defense Department. The problem, Levine says, is that DOD never told the university that it considered the violations to be severe enough to warrant a complete suspension.
There is no place where I can see where we violated law or regulation. Having said that, I think the process was crappy, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that we should have a process which doesn't provide advance notice to an institution before it's placed on probation. I think that that's a significant decision which has a major impact on a private institution. And as a Department of Defense, we should be more responsible than that, and we should have a process which provides advance notice and opportunity to respond. We didn't do that in that case. Our process didn't provide for it, but it should have, and that was a bad process, and we have taken steps to fix that.
Levine says the department has already changed its procedures to require that it give notice to a school before it places them on suspension and give them an opportunity to respond. It will formalize those changes with an official rulemaking process soon. Any decision to cut off DOD funds will be made by an assistant secretary or higher. In the Phoenix case, many of the key decisions appear to have been made by a GS-15 civil servant. Arizona Senator John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, whose home state includes the headquarters of the University of Phoenix's parent company, was unsatisfied with DOD's response. He says the school was placed on probation for minor technical violations, improper use of DOD logos and marketing materials, and not following proper channels to gain access to military bases to host large events and recruit new students. He also says the committee has seen letters that show school officials requested meetings with defense officials in the months leading up to the suspension to discuss how it was fixing the problems. But DOD declined those meetings.
What it represents more broadly, a gross abuse of power through a flawed and arbitrary process with insufficient accountability. Indeed, the department came perilously close to extinguishing one of its own valuable partners in voluntary education programs and the higher education option chosen by thousands of non-traditional students, especially active duty service members. I shudder to think how a similar lack of transparency and accountability could manifest itself in other vital DOD missions. I truly hope we will never see anything like this again at the Department of Defense, but if we do, for as long as I am chairman of this committee, there will be accountability.
But Levine defended the criteria the department used to suspend Phoenix and three other schools, Heald College, Minnesota Business School, and Globe University, saying the end goal is to ensure that the military's limited tuition assistance funds aren't being spent on schools that use deceptive or overly aggressive marketing practices. Even if the majority of the 2,700 colleges in DOD's tuition assistance program behave ethically, he says the department doesn't have the expertise to grade the quality of the education each of them delivers. So it has to use proxies like compliance with base access procedures and other provisions of their agreements with the Defense Department to sort the good from the bad.
We're not well positioned because of our expertise, which is in defense, not in education. We need help, and we need help in understanding how to rate and rank institutions and to determine which ones are providing us good product and which ones aren't. In the absence of that kind of good information, we have chosen to rely on what I call surrogate measures or prophylactic measures to try to protect our service members. And one of the key measures that we use in that regard is the issue of marketing and base access. I would say if I could give service members really good information about who is providing a good product and who isn't providing a good product, I'd be a lot less concerned about base access and marketing. But when I don't know and I can't judge who's providing good product and who isn't, this is something that I fall back on and rely on, because when I've got allegations out there about misrepresentation and deceptive actions and multiple unsolicited phone calls or emails or high-pressure recruitment tactics, false representation about degree programs, I want to try to nip that in the bud and hit it at the front end rather than waiting until after there's an allegation and I go through some lengthy proof if I can control it.
Adding to the Pentagon's concerns about making sure its tuition dollars only go to reputable institutions are the low graduation rates in its overall tuition assistance program. In 2015, the most recent year for which statistics are available, about 286,000 military members enrolled in higher education programs and paid for all or part of them with tuition assistance funds. But only 53,000 earned a degree or a certificate. And adversaries of the for-profit education industry note that a disproportionate share of those funds flow to such schools, about 46% in 2014. McCain also charged that DOD's tuition assistance suspensions, all of which have involved for-profit schools, are part of a broader ideological agenda by the Obama administration to attack the for-profit industry. As evidence, he pointed to an interagency task force on which DOD sits that the Department of Education has said is focused on for-profit schools. But Levine says DOD takes no position on whether for-profit colleges are good or bad, and it's raised internal objections about the name of that task force.
We are concerned not about some for-profit colleges that may have improper conduct, but some educational institutions, whether they're for-profit or not-for-profit. I don't want to rule out the case of potential abuse for not-for-profits. We see both for-profits and not-for-profits as providing a valuable role here, and we want them to comply with our policy. Obviously, we want them to provide quality products, but we don't believe that there's any inherent reason to believe that a nonprofit is providing a better product than a for-profit. We want a quality product.
As one way to achieve that, beginning in January, the department will revamp the procedures it uses to ensure that all of the 2,700 schools who have memoranda of understanding with DOD are complying with the Principles of Excellence DOD rolled out in 2013. Stephanie Barna, Levine's chief deputy, says the new framework will include audit triggers and risk assessment models developed by private industry.
We will be using industry-based best practices, both to routinely inspect on a very transparent basis, based on very transparent criteria, many of our schools. And then we will also have spot checks or risk-based assessments that will go on in addition to these more routine inspections. Right now, based solely on service member complaints, based on complaints that we receive through the media from others, we are able to address about 1% of our schools. We believe that our new third-party complaint compliance system will enable us to address 10% of our schools annually, and to do so in a much more fair, equitable, and in a much more transparent manner.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.